Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio. For the next 25 minutes, we hope that you're having a wonderful day. We are here at, if you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Tim, Walker, Ray, and Alex is holding on with us, Alex McFarland, and then Steve Jordahl.
Hey.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
We wanted to wrap this conversation up with Alex. We were talking about a New York Times, it's just this been in the news the last couple of days, a New York Times best-selling book. What's the title of it again? It's a devotional book. Anyway,
it's called A Rhythm of Prayer.
Yeah, A Rhythm of Prayer, collection of meditations for renewal. Anyway, it includes a devotion by a professor from Mercer University, Shaniqua Walker Barnes. She's a doctor in, she's a theologian and psychologist. Anyway, what's getting the attention is that in her devotion, she starts out, Dear God, please help me to hate white people, or at least to want to hate them, or at least I want to stop caring about them individually and collectively. I don't know. This is just nutty, hateful stuff, but this is the kind of in the, you know, all right. I wanted to play a clip from, I did a little Biden stop mid thought there. Did you notice I did that?
You did it well.
I did it well.
Yeah.
Because I said to myself, Tim, if you say that, that leads to five more minutes of you with a monologue here, and that's not fair to Walker, Steve, Ray, or Alex. So I wanted to play comments from Charles Barkley, and in a college and NBA basketball analyst. Everybody knows who Charles Barkley is. He's not really he's not a theologian. He's not a philosopher necessarily. He's just a guy with some common sense on a lot of issues. Charles Barkley does, although he and I would probably disagree politically on something. He usually just lays it out there. Right, what he thinks for better or for worse, kind of like Trump,
right?
Mm-hmm. Kind of like Trump in that regard. But I thought he said something very interesting on the college basketball show the other day. Listen to this.
Man, I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other, so they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. I truly believe in my heart most white people and black people are awesome people, but we're so stupid following our politicians, whether they are Republicans or Democrats. And their only job is, hey, let's make these people not like each other. We don't live in their neighborhoods. We all got money. Let's make the whites and blacks not like each other. Let's make rich people and poor people not like each other. Let's scramble the middle class. I truly believe that in my heart.
He's about to get canceled.
Brilliant.
Yeah. What he just said, I don't think he knows it necessarily, is what I – basically the essence of what I said before the break. This is a Marxist plan to destroy America. It's part of it. And then how do you do it? You divide people. You put, what does Abe call it?
Class envy.
Identity politics, right? And class envy and racial division and strife. And make people, as Charles Barkley said, try to make people hate each other. And that's divide and conquer. Now, that's what's going on. Any final thoughts, Alex, on this?
Well, you know, Bernie Sanders, I mean, his whole ascendancy and his rise was on this. I mean, his message was endlessly about the haves and the have-nots. And it's interesting, usually the compassion or the misguided compassion of the haves are some of the first to buy into the false promises of socialism. But you're right that all of this division, whether it's racial or whether it's economic or whether it's, you know, the East Coast, West Coast, I mean, the pro-socialists and more politicians are jumping on this bandwagon. They have a vested interest in the country. We might say divided. I would say it's unraveling. It's unraveling. Mm-hmm. And a book like this, Alleged Theologian, my goodness, Shaniqua Walker Barnes, and on her bio, you know, she's a professor of pastoral care. My goodness gracious, I cannot imagine.
At Mercer.
A Baptist school.
A Baptist school in Georgia, Mercer University. Incredible.
You know, she has as much business counseling or mentoring, searching people as Attila the Hun. I mean, and we're going to have folks, and Christians know this, but we're the only hope for America is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because a changed country begins with changed hearts, and only the new birth experience through faith in Jesus can accomplish that.
Amen. All right, thank you, Alex. We look forward to hearing you and Bert this afternoon, brother.
God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Thanks. That's Dr. Alex McFarland. Ray, anything you want to say to what we've been discussing here?
Yeah, if I had a choice, I'd much rather have Charles Barkley praying for me than that woman from Mercer.
Amen. Duly noted.
Amen. All right. Okay, Steve, what do you got, my friend?
Well, I don't know. We've been talking about the COVID vaccine of late and whether or not people should take it. I know you mentioned earlier that you've been seeing articles that evangelicals are now being blamed for not having a herd immunity in this country.
Well, yeah, the
New York Times
percentage of evangelical Christians, according to this, make up about 20% of the population of America, of our 320 million people. And they're saying that a higher percentage of evangelicals are not getting the vaccine than is the case among the general public.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's astronomically high. Ray, you've had it, hadn't you? Vaccine?
I had my first shot last week.
Okay, so see, there you go. I haven't had one. Ray's had one. But we can still sing Kumbaya. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So this is not a... This is not a biblical. Is this thus saith the Lord, Ray?
No, it's not.
On vaccine?
No, it's not.
Okay.
And everybody's got to make their own decision, right? What they're going to
do. And I may yet get one. I don't know.
Sure.
I just have it to date. I haven't decided
whether
to get one. I'm waiting for guinea pigs like Ray.
Yeah, I think it's.
To be stuck in the arm. And then when Ray tells me in a year from now one of his ears fell off because of the vaccine, then I'll say, well, that's the reason I didn't get it.
That's right.
Anyway, go ahead.
So one weekend, so far, so good.
Okay.
Yeah, I view it just like any other shot, you know, if like the flu shot, the annual flu shot. If somebody wants to get it, that's fine. If the next person doesn't want to, that's up to them.
Right.
You know, I don't really view it as a controversial issue. Some might, but I don't.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, I want this particular story maybe can help you in this decision of whether or not you want it or not, but 13 people at a COVID-19 vaccination site in Colorado had adverse reactions. This is to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. This happened on Wednesday, and it shut down the operation for the day.
On site, they had reactions?
On site. Well, in early enough to the actual inoculation that they were able to shut down the vaccines before the day was over.
Like they had a bad batch or something?
We don't know. They didn't say what the actual reaction was, but the 13 people out of 1,700, it's less than 1%, but they did shut down that site.
Nobody died, right?
Nobody died. It wasn't that bad of a reaction, but they were not specific with what the adverse reactions were. But we're hearing about more and more people that are questioning this.
I bet there were some family arguments in those minivans.
Yeah.
I told you. Look, I got sick. You told me to come down here and get this, and now I'm sick.
Well, there was disclaimers up front that you might get actual COVID-like symptoms, you know, as a result. But I think honestly, when you look at the number of people who have had the vaccine and the number of reactions, I think it's very minuscule because you're talking about millions of people. And now that this could have been a bad batch. I don't know.
Very well might have been.
But they might have let it sit out too long or something
Johnson
like that.
Is the Johnson & Johnson?
It was the Johnson & Johnson, which brings up a question that I have, and I probably should ask this of some medical types or researcher types, but if you're going to get the vaccination, do you have a choice of which one of the three that are being given out here in the United States you get?
Let's ask Ray. Ray, do you have a choice?
I think the answer generally is no. I think some places that have the Pfizer, which happened to be what? At KU, Kansas University, the big hospital here in Kansas City, that's what they had. So they didn't say, do you want Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson? It was like going to McDonald's and making your choice off the menu, you know. You took what they had. That's right. So, and I think that's going to be – I think it's the case in most places. They have Pfizer, they have Moderna, they have Johnson & Johnson. And if you're going to get it, you just take whatever
they have. Some of these European countries and Israel, some of these places have their own –
Other brands.
AstraZeneca, I think they've got that over in Europe, which is not approved here in the U.S. Whoa. Yet.
Which to me, it really kind of brings up a question of why maybe, or a solution of why maybe people are hesitant to take this thing, because it's hard to keep track of which one is it that could have possibly been used developing fetal cells, which one is it that someone's getting a reaction in Colorado, was it which one? And if you don't know, and you're not sick and you haven't seen a bunch of people around you get terribly sick and die from this thing, maybe it's prompting a lot of people to say, maybe I'll pass.
There are some genuine concerns. We've talked about it. Walker, you've talked about it. Genuine concerns that people have. The younger you are, the healthier you are, the less likely you're going to get COVID or have a bad case. Look, the way I looked at it is Marlene and I are both, well, no, that's not speak for her, speak for me. I'm 16 months away from being 70, okay? just in the age, okay? So I'm moving along into that upper age range where if you're over 70, you got to think about that. In our ministry, we travel a lot. And so
I don't blame you.
It's just a prudential thing for us to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I understand that. And the older you are, the more people think about, maybe I should get the vaccine because people in my age category are higher risk. That's exactly what the calculation you made, right, Ray?
Sure.
Yeah, and the fact that you do travel a lot because of your ministry. So
look, do I wonder about how fast it was developed? Sure, I wonder about that. And we'll know more a year from now, right, and 2 years from now than we do right now. But I think this is just a case where each person needs to study the issue and make your own good decision.
Right, Steve.
We've been talking also the last couple of weeks about these voter laws in Georgia and the one in the D.C. that wants to federalize all elections. And we've been talking about the Democrats, how they are saying that voter ID is one of the problems that they have with this, and pointing out that doesn't really put woke liberal people in that good of a light to say that voter ID is a problem. And I'll tell you why. In fact, this video, there's a TikTok user called, his name was Politics James, and I don't know any more about him than that's his name, but he went on a college video campus and he asked liberal white woke students about voter ID. I want you to hear what they said, and then at the end you're going to hear some African-American students. He asks, do you have an ID or do you know where the DMV is? It's just an interesting little video. Cut 12.
Do you have an opinion on voter ID laws?
Yeah, they're usually pretty racist.
I think voter ID laws are a way to perpetuate racism.
Would you go as far as say those laws are racist?
For sure.
Do you think it suppresses the African-American vote?
Definitely. Because they're less likely to have state IDs.
These type of people don't live in areas with easy access to DMVs or other places where they can get identification.
Do you think that's harder for black people to go online?
Well, I feel like they don't have the knowledge of how it works.
Do you carry ID?
Yes, I do.
Do you know any black person who doesn't carry ID?
No.
Do you have ID?
Yes.
Because I have my ID and my friends have their ID, so we know what we need to carry around.
Everybody that I know have ID. Like, that's one of the things you need to walk around with New York with.
I heard a lot also that black people can't figure out how to get to the DMV.
Really?
What's that saying to you?
I know it's that on 25th Street.
Do you know where the DMV is around you?
It's on 125th Street and 3rd Avenue, I believe.
Yeah, right there. Wow. I know where it is.
Wow.
They don't have the knowledge quite to.
Well, that's what Biden said. What was it, a month ago or 6 weeks ago? He said Hispanics and blacks really don't know how to use computers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was laughing during the clip. But you know, this is really a problem because
these are white woke people.
Yeah,
walking.
These are people who view people with darker skin, with black people as
can't get an ID.
They're dumb. That's basically what they're saying is black people are dumb, so they can't get on the internet or know where the DMV is.
Right. To get an ID so that they can vote.
Yeah.
So what?
And these are the people who claim to be the party of civil rights.
70% plus of African Americans agree that they want you to have an ID and to be able to vote. This is all coming from the, I don't know if you call it the white woke crowd, because there's plenty of black folks in the quote woke crowd. But this is a secular Marxist progressives, and the way they would like no ID for voting so that you could destroy America, basically. That's what they would. So the less identification you have when voting, the more likely it is people are going to cheat. And that's the way Marxists take advantage of our system, is to cause massive fraud and cheating in our voting, which ultimately destroys your country because you don't get the people to represent you that that people voted for. But in this case, it's funny to watch. It's funny on one level. The white woke liberals, right, they think they're being compassionate toward African-American people by saying they're too dumb to get a driver's license, so therefore we shouldn't have to require that for voting.
That's the reason they think they can get away with it. They don't really think this through, but because they wear a Black Lives Matter t-shirt and they care so much for this marginalized group, where it's kind of like a white savior thing.
It's like Cher.
Yeah.
The singer the other day, you know, she tweeted out, "I wish I could have been in Minneapolis. I could have helped save George Floyd."
Yeah, she got ripped to shreds on social media because
it's just all this stuff. It's false outrage most of the time, and it's fostering the idea that people who are of a minority in this country are not smart enough to. Kiddo, to be able to register to vote.
Right.
Huh?
Which and that view is insulting.
Yes.
It's an insult.
Yes.
It's patronizing.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And so it's kind of like what the Major League Baseball commissioner did the other day. He said, "I'm going to take the All-Star game away from Atlanta." Atlanta is like 60% black. I'm talking about Atlanta, I guess Atlanta proper. We're going to take that away from Atlanta. We're going to move it to Denver so we can punish those racists down there in Georgia. Denver's 80% white. So you took the All-Star game away from Atlanta and a lot of black-owned businesses and gave it to Lily White, Colorado. But you know what? You've done something for social justice right there.
Yeah.
That's just...
Yeah.
The whole thing is just
while we're talking about
whacked
it,
out.
Let me plug we're going to be doing Monday. Monday okay, we have a Georgia legislator on. His name is Wes Cantrell, a former youth pastor, by the way, now a Georgia legislator, and he is introducing in Georgia what he is calling the President Joe Biden Jim Crow on steroids Voter Act.
What?
That's a mouthful.
And what this...
Repeat it for Ray.
Yes.
Who is this again, and what did he introduce?
His name is Wes Cantrell.
Okay.
He's a Georgia state representative, and he is going to be introducing the President Joe Biden Jim Crow on steroids Voter Act. Because, you know, Joe Biden is called this Georgia law, the voter Jim Crow on steroids. The new bill will change the voting laws in Georgia. It'll amend their current effort to make them safe, and it will replace them with a mirror of how voting laws are in Joe Biden's Delaware. So Georgia is going to become exactly like Delaware. So he says, has five key features. Instead of having 19 days of early voting like they have in Georgia, they're going to have zero like they have in Delaware. Instead of no excuse absentee voting, they're going to make you have an excuse like they do in Delaware. Instead of having secure drop boxes where you can place your absentee ballots, they're going to provide zero drop boxes because that's how they do it in Delaware. Instead of having and being able to get food and drink to anybody outside of a 150-foot zone while voting, they're going to have zero offers of food or water because that's how they do it in Delaware, and it goes on.
So you what we got here again is rank hypocrisy. Now, Republicans can do this too sometimes, and we do point it out. You have the Democrat president of the United States saying that Georgia is operating basically under segregation and discrimination and Jim Crow, that's what that means, by having a voter ID law, when his own state has more restrictive laws about voting than Georgia does.
That's right.
Huh? So, and they, a lot of times these people get away with it again because you got to keep in mind, I know almost everybody listening to me knows this, you don't have a watchdog media anymore in this country. The mainstream media is the same as the Democrat Party. They're the same ideology, almost identical. And so the media used to be considered the watchdog of the government. Not anymore, for the most part, including the big social media giants. They're in collusion with the Democrat Party. So they squelch any story. What we're talking about right here, where we say, wait a minute, Biden is promoting, is condemning Georgia while his own home state has more restrictive laws. That should be an easy story to cover for the media. That's a big deal. And Jen Psaki should be asked about it every day. That's not going to happen unless Peter Ducey of Fox News does it, because this is one of the problems we have today. A big one is the media is in collusion with the Democrats to further their agenda. Now, there are outlets like us, like Fox News, like Newsmax, like there are some outlets out there, Breitbart and others, who will cover. But you got to consider the millions and millions of people of our fellow Americans who don't get this kind of news because all they get it from maybe Facebook or, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Something like that. So tell your friends and family about American Family Radio.
Tune in Monday.
Go ahead. You got a good a feel-good story, though,
I
right?
I do. 21 years ago today, this April 8th, this is 2000, this particular skit appeared on Saturday Night Live.
I gotta have more cowbell, baby. Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription... it's more cowbell.
Thank you, Bruce.
1, 2, 3, 4.
that was Will
Fabulous.
Ferrell and Christopher Walken in his first comedic role that I can remember on Saturday Night Live, and that was 21 years ago today.
There's been nothing that good since then.
It's
since
always on the top 10 of the best always. SNL skits.
I got a fever. And the more
the only thing that can prescription is
Mississippi State.
More cowbell.
Mississippi State University has been using that for years now.
I bet they have.
At their football games. Yeah.
More cowbell.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Walker.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Thank you, Ray.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
May you have no negative reactions to your vaccine thank today. You. Okay. And Brent Creeley, our producer. Fred Jackson. Thank him. Let's see. Alex McFarland, Jan Markell. Is that it?
Fred?
I covered Fred. Don't need a break. Thank Fred twice. All right, everybody, we'll see you tomorrow. Trivia Friday tomorrow.